Francisco Goya. In Spain, there was one major job for painters, court painter. Many of the famous painters from Spain in art history were court painters, and this is in part because art and the art world in Spain was different than anywhere else in Europe. This can be traced to the impact of the Spanish Inquisition on Spanish life and culture. I always thought the Spanish Inquisition was a thing of the medieval days and Edgar Allan Poe's spine tinglers. Incidentally, Poe's Inquisition-inspired The Pit and the Pendulum is set in the same time period as we're about to discuss, but be warned, it's terrifying. And while the Spanish Inquisition was most active during the 13 and 1400s, they definitely saw a resurgence of power after Napoleon's reign in Spain. Interestingly, the Spanish Inquisition, or Holy Office as it's called officially, took issue with those who fought against Napoleonic claims to the throne, even though the Holy Office was abolished under Napoleon. Remember the mind games of the Roman Catholic Church at Napoleon's coronation? It is possible that as the Inquisition was losing power under the monarchy in Spain and saw Napoleon as an opportunity, by the late 1700s, the royal office was simply a censorship body and only prosecuted the rich who were deemed not Roman Catholic enough. The Holy Office would have been terrified of the ideals of the Enlightenment that had been creeping into Spain despite their best efforts to censor. It is logical that they could have thought Napoleon, a good Catholic emperor, would reinstate their waning power. He did not. They were disbanded and only brought together again under the Bourbon monarchy when it was reestablished, and then disbanded completely and forever after that monarchy failed. Now, I say all that to talk about Francisco Goya. In 1815, Goya was brought before the Inquisition to answer for this set of paintings, which they had confiscated. The artistic nude was considered unacceptable to the church before the Peninsular Wars, so after they were over, Goya had to answer for this picture, specifically the one on the right. He was asked repeatedly who his model was, not so much because the act of modeling nude was more punishable than the act of painting a nude, but because of who the model was suspected to be. There was a saying late in the Inquisition, "Only the rich burn," meaning that the Holy Office would only target and fully persecute those who were rich in property and possessions that could be forfeited to the Roman Catholic Church. It was rumored that the model was the Duchess of Alba, and if it was, she was rich and would be a source of good money if they could confiscate her holdings on account of unmoral, heretical behaviors. In this painting of the Duchess of Alba, called the Black Duchess, she is pointing to an inscription in the sand that says only Goya, which may be a reference to a bit of a crush she had on Goya, or maybe Goya on her, after the death of her husband. However, it may also simply be a device to refer to his signature, as the other paintings in the Duchess series, the White Duchess, also shows her pointing towards his signature. But back to the Maja paintings. The first one took 3 years to paint, the second took 5. They were returned after being confiscated to the San Fernando Academy of Fine Arts in the late 1830s. 100 years later, in the 1930s, Spain issued stamps with Goya's Majas on them. This was the first time a nude woman was on a stamp, and the U.S. mail system really didn't know what to do with that. The U.S. postal system refused to accept any incoming mail with the nude stamp. The clothed editions got through just fine. And returned to Spain all mail with the Maja Desnuda on it. While Goya was never actually put on trial for this painting, and there isn't any record that he ever said who the model was or why he painted the picture, being called before the Inquisition caused him to lose the practical applications of his position as court painter. He kept his salary and his title, but was forced to move to the country. He bought Quinto del Sordo, the house of the deaf man, called such because the previous owner had suffered an illness that had left him deaf. However, Goya was also in a state of decreasing health, and bouts with undiagnosed illnesses had left him with vertigo, tinnitus, and deafness, so the name of his new house seems to be a fitting choice. All the paintings he did after he moved to Quinto del Sordo in 1913 were either for himself or for his friends. However, while he had been in the court of the King of Spain, he created a number of works that are still well known today. This painting of the royal family inserts the artist into the painting in the background on the left, and is just as confusing as Velázquez's Las Meninas from the 1600s that influenced it. In Velázquez's painting, it shows the scene as if the painter is painting the viewer who is standing with their back to the king and queen, which was a punishable offense, standing with one's back to the monarchy. In both paintings, it is a strange vantage point for the viewer because of the presence of the artist. Goya idolized Velázquez and perfected Velázquez's strange viewer placements. Even just taking a quick look at the painting of the family of King Charles IV, it's plain to see that Goya didn't sanitize or idealize their looks of the royal family. Huge birthmarks there, bulging eyes here, and strangely enough, while some of these figures are firmly cemented in the portrait, some, like the two princes on the left, seem like they're pasted over top. Obviously, it wasn't that Goya couldn't control his lighting, and this was a mistake. Goya was making stylistic choices. Also notice the fifth figure from the left, the woman looking away from the viewer. This was not a comment on the intelligence or beauty of that member of the royal family, but rather an artistic choice common in royal portraits at the time. The prince, Fernando VII, was not betrothed when the painting was painted, so it was asked that Goya would paint in his future wife, and the tradition was that the face would be obscured because obviously he would have a wife eventually. They just didn't know what her face she would have. Look at the king and queen in the center. They are not idealized in the Rococo fashion, but realistic or honest as the case may be. Some say that Goya was poking fun at the royal family and they were too stupid to realize, and others think this was a calculated move on the royal family's part. By showing their riches and their faults, they were showing they were honest and open and self-aware, not hiding in frippery. Although, of course, they weren't actually being completely honest or open or self-aware. The king was terribly manipulated by his wife, who slept with the prime minister, and the crown prince also bossed the king around, too. But that probably was more honesty than they wanted to share with the public. And Goya wasn't unkind for the sake of being unkind. Some of the people in this painting look just fine, not idealized in the Rococo way, but quite unblemished. The grouping of the three on the right is the Duke of Parma, Don Luis de Parma, his wife and baby Carlos Luis, the future Duke of Parma, and they're painted quite pleasantly. One last thing to look for. Notice how the head floating behind the king looks so much like the king? Well, that's his brother.